Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood,
the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
All right, episode 6 of the Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the Lightning Thief. I don't even know what the show was actually called. I think it's Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
Percy Jackson and the Olympians, yeah.
Work. Incredible. Ava is not here today due to scheduling conflicts issues, but audience favorite guest, I assume.
You better.
No one's told me otherwise.
Gretchen is back to join us, our friend and yours.
I'm so excited to be here.
Before we talk about this episode, since we haven't talked to you since the trailers dropped, do you want to just give us your quick thoughts on how the series has been so far for you?
Almost no notes. It's been great. I've been loving it. I've been watching it with my dad, and we've both been very much enjoying it.
Aw.
Yeah. My dad, who read the books like when I did for the first time, like in elementary school, middle school. And he hasn't read them since then, but so he's like, oh, I think I know what's happening.
Aww.
But it's still a surprise.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. This week's episode, we travel to the Lotus Casino for the first time.
Yep.
I feel like I'm going to get ahead of it. And out the gate, I'm going to address the Twitter controversies that I may or may not have been participating in all day. In that poker face versus levitating, the new bloodbath on the block. Here are my thoughts. I'll get my thoughts out and then y'all can chime in. I think we need to step off the neck of the 2010 movie. That movie was 14 years ago, came out 14 years ago. It meant a lot, I know, to me as a kid. Like, my brothers and I rented that movie billions of times. And that's like a low estimate. I watched that movie just as much as I read the books, if not more. Like, it meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to a lot of people our age, because it's all we had. And it got a lot of people into the books for the first time. So I'm not enjoying the like bad movie erasure trend that is like, let's never talk about that this movie happened. Well, because the movie happened and it's not a good adaptation. But separately, it is a movie that was important to the culture and meant things. And I'm going to talk about the poker face scene specifically. The poker face scene is iconic and traditionally iconic. People have all agreed about this until this week on Twitter for some reason. Levitating was, I think, an equal and opposite reaction. I think it was a great song choice. Not used the same at all. Completely different scenes. One was a transitional song. One was its own like dance number scene. You can like both. We don't need to shit on Poker Face in order to have enjoyed the use of levitating. They were different. There were very different scenes, very different takes on the Lotus Hotel and Casino. What are other people's thoughts? Because I've been sitting on this like conversation all day, even before the episode came out.
Yeah, I saw it on your Twitter. And I will say, I didn't know there was a bloodbath, except for what I saw on Brayden's Twitter. I was completely out of the loop. I didn't know this argument was happening. But I will say, love levitating as a choice. Thought that was real fun. Had a big laugh about it. And I also am feeling very Star Wars prequels about the first movie.
That's such a great analogy.
Right? Because we've been here before. Where it comes out and it's all we have and we just kind of have to accept it, and then it gets shit on and then it kind of has like a reemergence later and we're not there yet.
I agree. There will be a renaissance.
There will be a renaissance. I guarantee, but we're not there yet. And once we get there, I'll love it. But I think the world's not ready for that yet.
I want to use, I agree with everything that's been said. So I want to use this topic to talk about briefly how every time I open these stupid little apps, I feel like an ancient being. Like talking about
so old.
I'm literally like an ancient being. And like, I also just cannot recognize my own positionality as like possibly, not to toot our own horn, a niche internet micro celebrity when it comes to like,
very niche, very micro.
Yeah, like Percy Jackson. Like sound off. How many are there any of our listeners that have like these stan Twitters that are operating on Twitter right now? I just cannot believe.
I'm interested to hear because our audience, as the producer of this podcast who looks at our analytics, is around our age. Like we talk in a very peer way. Our target demographic is like older Gen
Z,
younger millennials.
It's us.
I do think these stan accounts on Twitter are 16 and under.
I know. And it's crazy because I used to be them. Like I mean, it wasn't on Twitter, Tumblr all the way, but like it's crazy to see it happen again. And like, I don't know why, like I have one of my friends is now currently like just getting into like reading the Percy Jackson books, like, and watch because the TV show's coming out and she's like always meant to. And she was like, I want to start now. And like, she's now successfully, she's our age, but she's like in the TikTok demographic of like people who are just starting Percy Jackson. So she really sees all the like all the takes that have been put out there. And every time she sends me one, I'm like, I am old because I love the new girlies watching, listening, reading.
We're happy to have you.
We are happy to have you. But some of y'all but like are crazy.
But you gotta finish the series before you say anything.
Yes. Kind of. It's like, don't cite the old magic to me. I
was there when it was fucking written.
Yes, I was there when the books came out. I was there when the movie came out.
I saw the Sea of Monsters movie in theaters with no other people.
Exactly.
I was the only one.
Like, and I like don't
we were on that. Tumblr. I was on Percy Jackson Tumblr.
Yes, we were. And I'm not trying to gatekeep because I would never do that. You should. I love Percy Jackson. It's just I realized that like I don't often find myself getting like appalled or like angered when I see like a truly wild take on media I like, except for Percy Jackson.
Y'all have been testing
when
me.
When y'all say something crazy, I don't know why I take it so personally.
And I don't really mean y'all because it's not our listeners.
It's not you.
But it is. There are people in the ether saying things like Persebeth is MLM erasure. And you piss me off. You went and pissed me off. And I already talked about this on our Return to Camp TikTok for like 5 minutes. So if you want to hear that, go listen there. But I just ask for our new members of our community that we maybe take a step back and think critically before we start sharing our opinions. Anyways, let's talk more about what happens in this episode. What are our thoughts on Hermes?
Okay, so why did he eat? Like, I saw
I'm
so sorry, Lin-Manuel. Like, I'm really sorry that I didn't expect you to do good because
I apologize to Lin-Manuel Miranda. Just a little bit today.
Sorry to this man.
But like, actually,
sorry on your birthday that I was really mean to you earlier today. Happy birthday, Lin-Manuel Miranda, by the way.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Woo! Good for you. You ate this episode up. Like, I can't even lie.
He's a great actor. Great. He's a great writer. And this was, he was a deadbeat dad through and through.
Mm-hmm. He was very good. I really liked his part of this episode, you know? Like, I liked how this served. As I was saying, like, to Brayden a little bit earlier, like, I think that he was a good person for them to have to meet just in this, like, Percy's about to meet his dad, and then they, like, have him not show up. I think that that's, like,
a really good... Yeah, this episode being about dads
is a really great. Good writing. And also, I think it was good to use that as... use his appearance as a vehicle to be, like, we don't need to know yet what it is, but, like, something's fucked up with Luke's mom. Because I think that it's a really good way to, like... explain what's about, like, what Luke is about to do, you know?
I also realized we also have Grover interacting with a patriarchal figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
And
Grover's part of this was, like, so, so sad.
Like, hurt, yeah, kind of heartbreaking. Like, and then at the end, when they were like, well, why did Grover forget more? And it's because he was alone.
Yeah.
It's and it's easier to forget. It's important when you're alone. That actually killed me. Oh. And I was like, that's such a not only just like life statement, but like also feels real specific in like a trio of like they had to split up, but they didn't want to split up all the way. And so just the way numbers work out. And then kind of in at least my crazy brain connecting the imaginary dots to Leo later on.
Yeah. Like,
seventh wheel.
Word.
Yes.
I'm insane.
No, but any excuse to talk about Leo.
I'm going to say maybe my first really critique of this show. And I don't agree with a lot of the like, it wasn't accurate to the books discourse. Like, it's its own thing. We need to understand that adaptations are their own thing. They're not interesting if they're word for word.
Yeah.
That read the books.
That's why the series of Unfortunate Events series didn't do well, is because it was word for word from the books and it was boring.
Exactly. But my real critique of this show is I think the pacing is all out of whack. And I don't think it is anyone on the actual Percy Jackson team's fault, because this is a broader Disney Plus problem. I just really saw the cracks in this 30-minute episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a reason why TV shows are historically, like, dramas are 43 to 45 minutes long. I mean, part of it is they're built for ad breaks and, like, the scheduling block. But the restraint in that structure helps you pace an episode of television very specifically so that it hits beats at right times that feels right. You're now playing this TV show on Disney Plus, sometimes without ads. Now there are ad tiers to Disney Plus as well. And on Hulu, like, you're adding ads back in. There are ad breaks. Like, there are clear cuts that are meant to be ad breaks. It makes it feel very strange that it is not paced correctly. Every story beat that is supposed to be in an episode of television happens, but it's all out of whack when they happen. And that has been really off kilter for me. I was forgiving to the first couple episodes because I thought it might get fixed, and I just haven't seen it get fixed yet. But this is the problem that I've had with almost every Star Wars and Marvel Disney Plus show since WandaVision. Maybe not Loki. Loki was very good.
I also feel like some of the places where I was like, oh, this is an ad break, it kind of feels like maybe in the editor's room they weren't. Like, they were still at a place, because this show's been in production for 2 years. It kind of feels like they were still at a place where they didn't have ad breaks. And then, like, after the strike or something, they were like, hey, guys, add them in.
It really depends, though. Like, some of them are so clearly, like, you can only jump between these scenes like this if you fade to black and fade back up.
Yeah. Because it's, like, end of chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. But then there are, like, other times where you cut in the middle of action. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like that old sitcom thing where they repeat the last line of the before the commercial break at the start of the next block. And it's like, you did what?
And you're like,
I just saw it. There was no commercial.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, even if you're watching with ads on streaming and you're watching commercials, you're not picking up in the middle of an episode on TV. I don't know, like you might be flipping through channels and find it. Well, I guess that's another argument, is that Disney might be preparing this to like air on ABC later or something like that, as they've done with like shows like Andor and stuff, and are starting to do, because streaming services don't make any money. That's a separate conversation. Any more thoughts about what actually happens in the episode?
A CGI note, the Nereid at the end looked fantastic.
So sick.
With the seaweed hair and the glowing, fantastic work.
Oh, much yeah. better than the at the end of episode 4.
And yeah, like pretty much all of the CGI so far, this has been like the most impressive.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I agree. That's why I have thoughts on, I don't know if you got to the trailer at the end of the credits.
I stopped watching the episode and got on the Zoom call with you, so no.
Well, for the culture.
Yeah.
The next episode is the Underworld. The glimpses we saw, the design is actually incredible, and I'm very excited about the design. However, there's the sky behind them on the Santa Monica beach where Percy's going to fight Ares at the end of the next episode. The sky clearly was not sunset when they filmed, or this was filmed on the volume. That I do know a lot of the series was filmed on the volume, which is a technology that Disney Plus developed for like the Mandalorian and the Star Wars shows. It's basically like a
big LED soundstage.
Yeah. And that sky looked bad, but everything else looked so good. So it just like was strikingly bad because everything else looked good, but that's next week's problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe probably will be 2 weeks from now.
No, it was the trailer for next week. also, not that much happens in the Underworld.
That's true.
Then, yeah. And there's only 2 more episodes left. Yeah. It kind of has to happen.
Oh, yeah.
True.
I forgot about that. There's only 2 more weeks. That's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
My last note that I have is, love watching kids drive badly.
That was exactly going to be my last note, is what I was actually about to open my mouth and say, was that I loved that scene.
It was so
because panicking trying to get out of the parking garage is just so me. I do that every day.
It's so real. And I saw so many funny tweets when this was like previewed in last week's, like, you know, little end of episode preview. People being like, Grover is in the back seat and he's fully over the age of 20. Why is Percy driving the car? And it was just such a funny reason.
I guess it is. He has hooves.
No, it was cute.
He was also confused, but I'm just curious how the hooves would have. I can't imagine that's you can true. Drive well with goat. With goat.
Yeah, because there's a lot of ankle work in driving.
Yeah, yeah. And they're
unless he did a whole knee, that would be tiring.
True.
Yeah.
But also, he didn't know what was going on. That poor baby couldn't have done anything.
Exactly.
He was confused. He's one of nachos.
Yeah.
Well, that is all for this little mini review of episode 6 of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Thank you, Gretchen, for taking Ava's place this week.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Join us next week, where we'll be doing another little mini review of episode 7, and check out our normal weekly episode that it drops within hours of this little mini review, where we're almost done, where we hit the climax of the Burning Maze.
Crazy. So,
crazy chapters. I have many thoughts about that too.
Yeah.
And be nice on Twitter.
Respect your elders.
I beg you.
Respect your elders.